Section 58, June 1, 1964. The Early Sessions, Volume 2, The Seth Material. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, I always find your conversations just before session most enjoyable. I will never cease to be amused with Rupert's little tricks, such as watching the minutes. And I would not at all be surprised, Joseph, to find that he continues in the same hilarious fashion as time goes by. It is in his nature. The caution and ego strength behind such amusing episodes work to our benefit, however. He has used them well this time to give himself added discipline, and this is all to the good. Without his ego elasticity, that is, without the ability of the ego to assume control and to guide Rupert back, immediately resuming control, we would be in for much less peaceful sessions, and the quality and quantity of the overall material would suffer. I certainly would not want to get him angry at me, as I am so familiar with his explosive reactions. Rob notes here, Jane's voice became very light and amused. Seth, as far as self and not self are concerned, the unit of self is organized, as you know, by the inner self, which directs the whole energy field. The outer ego directs the manipulation of this gestalt in the physical universe. The outer ego is rather more tied to physical properties, and yet it can directly experience inner reality by a change of focus through aligning itself with the inner ego, focusing its energies with the inner rather than the outer senses. This is by far the most advantageous method of experiencing inner reality, because the outer ego is therefore consciously aware of what has been going on and can use such knowledge in its own sphere. When the inner ego and the outer ego pursue directly opposed viewpoints and different aims and goals, then you run into difficulty. In studying human personality and the psyche, your psychologists have not gone far, nor deeply enough. When a complete barrier, or nearly complete barrier, exists between the inner and outer egos, then the whole self is denied value fulfillment to a large degree. Such a division occurs at various times in history and is occurring now. When the two are in balance, and when there is communication between them, then the inner ego can directly communicate with the outer ego, bring to it the necessary enlightenments, and give it, that is, give the outer ego the benefit of its own, the inner ego's own, condensed comprehension and direct participation in the existence of the universe as a whole. The outer ego, under such advantageous circumstances, is more nearly able also to communicate its experience in the physical world to the inner self, and hereby to actually help enlarge the inner self, which then directly experiences stimulation and manipulations in a camouflaged pattern which is otherwise denied to it. The inner self obviously needs the outer self with its outer senses in order to permit its own materialization in various camouflaged forms. This should not be underrated or forgotten. Without the outer core, the inner self could simply not add to its own value fulfillment through participation in energy constructs. Each existence in any of the many camouflaged patterns trains and fulfills the inner ego to develop the greatest possible fulfillment of its own qualities and characteristics. These inherent qualities and characteristics determine the planes upon which the inner self will exist, and on each plane a certain materialization is necessary. It will vary according to the properties of the plane. It is true that the inner self, in the last analysis, is the durable self. Nevertheless, the various outer egos are extremely important, and without them, the inner self would be blocked. Nor are these inner abilities, as a rule, ever left unfulfilled. The outer egos are not gobbled up, so to speak, after a particular existence, but remain in control of those characteristics and abilities which they have been so important in forming and training. The outer ego then remains, at the end, a controller and director of those strengths which it gathered through itself during its particular existence. But even this is not the end. It, that is, it meaning the outer ego, can even continue growth and development after a particular existence, according to its inherent ability and according to its ability to communicate with the basic inner self. This is extremely difficult, I should imagine. Nevertheless, even when an inner self has sent out a new outer ego upon a new camouflage venture, the previous ego is still afforded an almost unlimited avenue for development. There are many possibilities for it. It can choose to remain what it is, one ego. It will then remain in somewhat subordinate position to the inner self, but in no more of a subordinate position than it was earlier. It will therefore return once more to the same plane with which it was familiar, and where it will meet with new challenges and develop new abilities that will, however, be of the same basic nature. That is, if we are speaking of your plane, the ego would have new experiences, develop new abilities, perhaps solve old problems, balance out deficits, but still be dealing with problems of manipulation and physical construction. Most egos do indeed choose this course for a while. For that matter, the requirements of your plane itself necessitate the fulfillment of certain developments, such as those we have mentioned much earlier, having to do with the experience of a full childhood, motherhood, fatherhood, etc. These represent minimum requirements for your plane. The ego may also have particular desires of its own along these lines. Now, you will see what I'm saying. In various reincarnations upon your plane, the ego that reincarnates is the same ego. The information of past lives is retained by the ego's subconscious, for obvious reasons. But this information can be tapped. Theoretically, such an ego could continue reincarnating indefinitely in such a fashion, always growing and developing, but always dealing with problems of manipulation and physical construction of energy. This then represents one possibility for growth of any particular ego. There are many possibilities. Do forgive me. I had forgotten your break. By all means, take it. And before the night is over, really, I will have to remember to give you an example of my peculiar brand of humor, since you look so serious, Joseph. Rob notes, break at 9:41. Jane was again fully dissociated for the first break. This appears to be the rule now. I was aware that we had run past first break, since my hand was beginning to get weary. Jane's delivery also had speeded up. She began dictating again in a much stronger voice, but this phenomenon did not last very long. Perhaps for the following page, her voice then returned to its quiet, rather rapid pace. Resume at 9:47. Seth. Now, if there is good communication between the self, that is, the inner self and the outer self, then the ego begins to understand what it is, and also to realize that it has greater capacities than it can realize by continued reincarnations upon one plane. If the ego is exceptional, it may take one or two courses. It may choose to return to the same plane as a great originator, using knowledge that it received from the inner self to make lasting and original innovations upon that plane, according to its interests, abilities, and capacity. It will therefore become a Buddha, a Christ, a Michelangelo, a hero in one field or another, an ego who changes the physical world completely in untold manners by the mere fact of its existence. It then does not reincarnate again upon that plane. However, because of its own extraordinary nature, it itself forms with the inner self an added gestalt, adding to the energy and ability of the inner self. And in a manner which I cannot yet explain to you, it voluntarily may give up its ego identification to a large degree for the purpose of giving its full energies to the store of the inner self. That is one possibility. It is followed by egos who have actually worn out not this energy, which is tremendous, but their desires. Other egos choose instead to become entities of their own, in which case this magnificent outer ego becomes in turn an inner ego, which then from its own unfulfilled desires, abilities, and initiatives are formed new outer egos, which once again seek value fulfillment. Such an outer ego turned inner ego has only experienced existence then upon a particular plane. It is therefore filled with impatience as far as existence upon other planes are concerned, and therefore, if it developed upon your plane initially, it will not choose to initiate anew there, but will choose other planes of activity. It does therefore contain within it the knowledge of its experiences upon your plane, though such an entity can spring from any plane. This, of course, represents the most extraordinary possibility, and such an entity can, if it is so propelled by its own strength, exist upon a variety of planes, carrying along with it knowledge of all previous planes, and each of its outer egos have the same opportunities. This is important. The choice is always made by the particular ego, and we are speaking here of outer egos, remember. Many are content to continue indefinitely along the same plane, having almost endless incarnations and in contact more or less with the inner self. Rupert and myself were offshoots of the same entity, as I have mentioned. I will mention now that we have chosen the same paths. The difference in time is but a camouflage distortion. The entity was a particularly strong one, and many of its egos have made the decision to turn into entities. There are certain requirements, as you remember, that must be met upon your plane and upon others. Yet an ego, an outer ego, cannot choose to be an entity, in any case, until its comprehension attains a certain degree. And now, my dear patient Joseph, may I tell you also that you are part of the same entity, and this is one of the main reasons why I am able to communicate with you both. This particular set of circumstances does not happen often. I have wanted to make this clear for quite a while, but you would not have understood it much earlier. You and Rupert both must use all your abilities to the utmost. You will find more energy at your disposal as you use it for this purpose. This is extremely important, since there is the existence of which you are to make your largest contribution. Rob notes, here Jane held her hands out to me, indicating that they were fat. She rubbed them briskly as she paced back and forth. I then expected to feel the sensation myself, but nothing happened. She was dictating quite fast by now. Seth, Rupert now will not block me. You, Joseph, must paint, using all your powers, instilling into your work all you have learned now and in previous lives of human understanding, ability, capacity, and failure. And you must make an effort to have your work seen. You must send it out. And in this you will find birth. You will help to create something in the hearts of men that will not be there until they see your work. This is your commitment. This is the time for it. If you are to be an entity, as you have chosen to be, then this is your opportunity, and this is your last reincarnation upon this earth. You need power, strength, determination, and joyous spontaneity in your working hours. You also need to influence personally those people in the outside world with whom you come in daily contact, and to extend yourself in using your full abilities of understanding and creativeness in your outside contacts. You need also to expand in the direction in which you are going in terms of these sessions and psychological time. There is a delicate balance to be maintained, but energy will come to you. You must still make a most passionate oath of involvement with the world at large and identification with everything within it and of it, for you have sometimes shrunk from this. But from this passionate oath of involvement will be wrung the final intense isolation and comprehension from which your best work will come. There must be, with discipline, a passionate joyfulness and spontaneity. There must be both involvement that springs partly from the acknowledgement of human vulnerability, but also from the acknowledgement of human potentiality. This, if your deepest capacities are to be realized, and your work is to achieve its true mastery and power. I cannot stress too deeply this mixture of spontaneity, joyfulness, and involvement with discipline, isolation, and determination. In your case, the involvement, the necessity for using your abilities in the outside world, also are extremely beneficial. You have no idea of the effect of your own personality upon others when you do not hold back. This holding back is superficial, a direct effort of your present mother's own personality as you reacted to it. One of the characteristics that attracted you to Rupert as Jane was his passionate involvement. From you, he needed to learn some discipline, but not to be smothered by it, and this is also extremely important. From him, you instinctively knew that you would learn some awareness of passionate involvement. It is true that you are both learning, and learning well. There is little danger that you will become overly involved. Rupert, however, could conceivably become so disciplined that his passionate, intuitive involvement was rendered much less active, and this would be a mistake. These sessions are obviously proof that this has not yet occurred, but he will find now, because of your help, discipline within freedom. He must allow himself, however, the freedom for his intuitions to show themselves. As long as I have finally managed to get this material through, I will continue with it. However, if you would like a break for your finger's sake, by all means take it. Rob notes, break it. 10:32, Jane was fully dissociated. Way, way out, as she put it. She said that while delivering this material, she felt tremendously certain of it. It was not as though she was not herself while disassociated, but that she was more herself. She was almost annoyed because Seth suggested the break. Jane's hands were still somewhat enlarged, though not to as great a degree as when the sensation first appeared. My writing hand was quite cramped from the pace of the dictation. Jane resumed at 10:45. Seth, much of this advice could not be given to you earlier because you would have found various parts of it contradictory. But it is not so, as you know by now. It is one thing to isolate part of yourself so that you do not worry or fret about the experiences with the outside world during your waking hours. Nevertheless, a synthesis must be performed. Shutting yourself off in one direction will result in a shutting yourself off in all directions. Your work, Joseph, is a synthesis of pain as well as pleasure. A commitment in the world will not detract you, but will add to your own work, granted, of course, that you allow yourself specific working time. This also now applies to Rupert because of a discipline that you yourselves helped him to achieve. And he was right as far as the gallery is concerned. He is now ready to expand because this expansion will help his own abilities and will therefore influence others. Teaching will help him develop abilities in himself that are all for the good. If he is not allowed to teach the children's classes or to expand his abilities at the gallery, then he should look for outside work where he can use these abilities. For such experience is necessary for him and will be used in his own work. If he is paid more for using them at the gallery or otherwise, well and good. If not, the use of the abilities and his resulting undertaking will be the reward that will add to the dimension of his poetry. You should also use your abilities as best you can in your outside occupation. There is no saying, now I will use my abilities and now I will not. They must be used or they will not be fulfilled. The use broadens them and adds to them. I have been blocked by Rupert on these points for so long that I am completely amazed that he designs to let me through it tonight. There can be no holding back of commitment, involvement, or ability in one aspect of your lives, but it will be reflected in others. That is in other aspects where you want growth. You know I do not mean that you should give your energy to every weird cause, but that you should speak out your opinions, that you should use your abilities in your outside endeavors for your own sake. This, in particular, Rupert has blocked. It means added complexity. But you will synthesize this complexity in your work, and you must. For you, too, this life is no game. You have much at stake. You cannot afford to use half of your abilities. You have aimed too high for that. If you follow this advice, you will find extra dimension, not only in your work, but in all aspects of your daily lives, both psychic and physical. Any other course leads to a stunting of growth. Rupert should concentrate upon his poetry. He should work much more diligently with it, and also upon his book in which he attempts to explain inner sense phenomenon. The time has passed for him to shrink from contacts with the outside world, as far as the gallery or any other endeavor is concerned. This shrinking was initially necessary, because he needed to learn how to handle his rather explosive personality. But from now on, he should begin to use and insist upon using his abilities, not only in his own work, but in his dealings with the outside world as far as occupation is concerned. And so, Joseph, should you. Problems might arise, but you are fully capable of handling them if they do. And no problems means no growth. And no growth means no value fulfillment. You do not have to worry, Joseph, about isolation. It is a main core of your personality. Rupert does not have to worry any longer about being undisciplined. He is now plenty disciplined enough. His abilities will smother if he applies too much discipline. You will both also find travel, when possible, extremely advantageous. To protect your abilities, both of you have had to take certain steps. Rupert by way of enforcing discipline. Joseph by way of enforcing isolation. Rupert is secure. Discipline is now a part of his framework. Joseph, you are secure. Isolation is now a part of your framework. Though after Denmark, I never expected to see it. Rob notes here by way of humorous emphasis, Jane grinned and pounded on the table. Seth, now you can and must afford yourself the privilege of expansion. Your synthesis, the synthesis represented by your painting, Joseph, and Rupert's writings, must come from passionate involvement now, conceived in isolation, but received from a psychic commitment to the world as you know it. The interaction is all important. You are aiming so high that your requirements are certainly more. Nevertheless, there is no fulfillment on your plane without commitment. Because you have no children this time, you must of necessity then feel, experience, become involved in the world of growth and change, which is your plane. For those who have chosen to become entities, the way is not easy, but I am here to tell you that the way is worth it. Without the involvement, as contact, and as experience, then the self has no way on your plane to experience its own uniqueness. Commitment and involvement become the ingredients from which your own work will achieve genius. The synthesis is yours, and yet the self must be plunged into chaos, even to find order, to find itself and to find a comprehension and understanding that will bring original insight and knowledge into your plane. And this original insight, original comprehension, are the requirements of an entity. Rob notes again, Jane pounded on my writing table for emphasis. Seth, Rupert must work ever harder at his poetry. He must publish it as often as possible. You must work ever harder at your painting and always allow yourself spontaneity and joyfulness as well as discipline in your work. And you must show, sell, or even give away your work. Preferably it should be shown or sold, but it must be seen. It is not to be hidden away. Your ability will not grow to capacity if the work is hidden away. The counteraction with people is important. This material, all of it, is so important to you both that I cannot stress it too strongly. You are both doing well. Joseph has expanded to a large degree, and yet there is much room for improvement, particularly Joseph in terms of selling your work. Let it affect people. Let the comprehension and magic expand them. Do not shrink at selling it. What you lose is not lost. You show as much reluctance to sell your work as Rupert shows in marketing his poetry. You see his failing here, see your own. He is good at telling you to expand, and yet he is so frightened of a self no longer undisciplined that he shrinks from using his abilities at the gallery, and this is reinforced by your fear of his doing so, or indeed by showing your own abilities to others. Expansion brings expansion. You cannot truly shrink in one field or endeavor without shrinking in all, particularly if you are creative. In the past, you have been afraid of using energy up, as if you had so much and no more. This is not true. You have, and you will have energy as you need it. And if you do not demand it and draw upon it, you will have less. I regret using your fingers so poorly this evening, but finding my Rupert so compliant, I had better get through what I can. The wine undoubtedly helped. You can always ask more of yourself and find more. With your creative abilities, you will always form a synthesis from your own experience. Again, travel, when possible, will help. You have now an inner fortification and peace and knowledge that will allow you to deal with a more complex life than you would have been able to handle before. And this is to the good, particularly as far as your contribution and work is concerned. I do not want to close the session yet, but I imagine that you are tired, Joseph. I am taking care of Rupert. I leave it then to your discretion. Jane laughed, notes Rob. Well, I guess we'd better close the session. Seth. Then I will say good evening, and Rupert, my most sincere gratitude. He had allowed me to discuss matters which he had beautifully blocked so far. I do not want him to become so damned disciplined that I have to screech to get anything across. I could go on for hours. I could make Rupert go on for hours. But I will take compassion upon the flesh and say good evening. Rob, the flesh needs the rest. Seth, I will take complete charge of your fingers, Joseph, and I wish tonight that you had your recorder going so I could continue. Nevertheless, bonjour. Rob, good night, Seth. End at 11:30. Jane was dissociated as usual. We were both very tired. Jane's voice was hoarse, her hands still a little fat. For my part, my right hand was quite cramped, but I had no sense of enlargement. Such was the pace of this session that we had but two breaks during the whole of it.